Our reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. I'm going to read from the Message translation. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. If the Beatitudes describe the essential character of the disciple of Jesus, the salt and light metaphors in our passage today indicate their influence for good in the world. Yet, the very notion that a kind of people described in the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5 could really have an impact for good in our world, it sounds quite preposterous. What possible influence can poor, meek mourners who try to make peace, not war, through showing mercy, actually have upon our society today? What can they accomplish, those whose only passion is an appetite for righteousness and whose only weapon is purity of heart? It just sounds crazy. Fortunately, it's evident that Jesus didn't share the skepticism. John Stott, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, says this: incredible as it might sound, Jesus referred to that handful of Palestinian peasants as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It is also a remarkable providence of God that in the most Jewish of the four Gospels, there should be such an allusion to the whole earth, to the worldwide power for good of Christ's followers. In order to define the nature of their influence, Jesus resorted to two domestic metaphors. Every home, however poor, used and still uses today both salt and light. Our purpose and responsibility as disciples, followers of Jesus today, has not changed. We are called to be salt and light just like those early disciples. But why salt? Well, salt is very important. We can't always see it, but when it is there, we can tell it makes a difference. So what does salt do? Well, salt is both a condiment and a preservative. Salt has always been seen as an essential component of the human diet and a seasoning for food. Can you imagine the great British fish and chips without salt? Salt also preserves. In Jesus' day, of course, they didn't have fridges or freezers. Salt was used to keep meat and fish from going off. Another John Stott quote. The basic truth which lies behind this metaphor is that the church and the world are distinct communities. On the one hand, there is the earth. On the other hand, there is you, who are the earth's salt. The notion is that the earth is decaying like rotten meat because of our sinful society, because of our selfishness, greed, lust, immorality. Mankind is deteriorating. As Christians, disciples of Christ, we are called by Jesus to act as salt to the earth, to stop or hinder its decay. You see, it's our responsibility to be like salt. But how do we go about being salt? I wonder, even if you really like salt, you would never get a jar of salt and start eating it with a spoon, would you? You just don't eat salt like that. What do you think would happen if you did? I think you'd probably be sick after a while. You see, salt doesn't exist for itself. Salt's main aim and purpose in life is penetration. In a sense, salt needs to die to itself and give itself away in order to become useful and effective. In the same way that salt doesn't exist for itself, we, the church, don't exist for ourselves. William Temple, former Archbishop of Canterbury, said this: the church is the only organization in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. That's great. The church is not a club, but the body of Christ. Like salt, we are to give ourselves away to others in love and in service to others who need to hear and see the love of Christ in action. What about Jesus' second metaphor, light? Well, light is indeed very important. We need light to see where we're going and what we're doing. Light illuminates, it dispels darkness and reveals and exposes it. Final John Stott quote. So the notion is that the world is indeed a dark place, spiritually and morally, with little or no light. As Christians, we're called to shine God's light into this world, to break into the darkness and dispel the darkness. There was a little girl who was on a school trip to a cathedral. And as she was standing at the front of the church, looking up at the stained glass windows, she turned to her teacher and said, "Miss, who are all those people in the glass windows?" The teacher smiled and said, "Oh, that's easy. They're the saints." Literally just seconds after she had said this, suddenly the light shone through and lit up the whole of the front of the cathedral with all these beautiful different coloured lights. It was just wonderful. That night, as the little girl was preparing for bed, she said to Mummy, "Mummy, I know who all the saints are." Her mummy, expecting her to reel off a list of names, said, "Oh yes, dear, who are they?" The little girl replied, "The saints are the ones who let the light shine through and make everything beautiful. The saints are the ones who let the light shine through and make everything beautiful." The calling upon our lives as God's people is that we may bring out the God flavors by being tasty, and that we may bring out the God colors by letting God's light shine through us and making everything beautiful.